Do you really feel like when you're like stretching your, the tutorial says like to stretch your like cheeks? Like
yeah, to back like towards your ears.
Does that actually change your voice?
Talking like this.
I feel like it doesn't change my voice at all.
That doesn't change my voice.
I guess it does. Yeah, it does.
All right.
Mother brain.
I feel like my face just hurts now.
I can't record.
But when Kyle does it, he doesn't stretch his face. He just does it. Do you think he's like stretching his face from the inside?
I think so.
You think his face is just like naturally shaped like mother brain?
Mega cool.
All right, fine.
Okay. Going down. Welcome to the Now You're Playing With podcast, the podcast where me and Weston read volumes of the Nintendo Power magazine.
That's me. I'm Weston.
And we got Weston there. We got Brett here. And we got a couple, two strange things happening today. Number one is we're not reading the Nintendo Power magazine. We
Hell
are watching.
Yeah.
We watched Nintendo.
It's a Captain and the Game Master.
The Game
we watched the first two episodes.
It's like an old cartoon set in video game world.
So it's the pilot. Which I do not have the name in front of me. Oh, Kevin in Video Land, in episode 102. How's Bayou?
And we're joined the other mysterious thing that's happening is we're joined by Andy. Yeah, we got
Andy Petruzzo is back.
I arrived through the ultimate warp zone.
Save me. So we watched Captain.
What's weird is like in real life you're a cartoon. You go through the warp zone, you turn into a real person.
Yeah, you.
Yeah, there's a lot to say
a physical
about the cartoon.
Man. We got to keep those opinions to ourselves. This is going to be a blow by blow podcast, and we'll give our ratings at the end.
Yeah, we got some hot takes. We got some.
What I just said is not true. I would hope that we can just be honest with each other and ourselves as we're going.
God, I hope so. If we can't be honest with each other about Captain N, then who can we be honest with?
I actually wrote I'm going to be dishonest. I take notes and I write which ones we're going to be honest.
Brett's notes are on a physical lined notebook and they have check boxes next to them to make sure he says them. Brett, do you need a pen?
It's like 90% of them.
And he revealed that he put smiley faces on the part that made him chuckle or laugh out loud.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why we're teasing you for that, because if I'm reading something I've written and I like it, I'll do the check marks. That's like saying I thought this was good.
Yeah. And well, it's just weird doing this for this podcast, because this is how I like write when I write. I don't normally do it with this podcast. And then I write stars if I do a big laugh out loud.
What about things that you don't like or hate?
They get nothing. It's just unmarked.
Okay.
I'll do a sad face.
If we're going to dive into this, so pretty much I write a box if when I think of it, I like it. I do a circle if when I think about it, it makes me smile. And then I do
system.
Okay. I do like a big star thing if when I think about it, it makes me laugh out loud. And then when I reread it, I've got different markings.
Okay, so
there's no consistency.
Well, it's one is based off of the moment of, and then the other one is when reflecting back on it.
Okay.
Right.
But you can tell those apart.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough.
I think we should have you committed. This sounds nutso to me.
Thanks to a certain Governor Reagan. That's not possible though.
Every note session I have, I write, am I crazy? Am I fucking nuts?
The person who came up with Captain N is crazy.
Yeah.
Before we jump into it too far, should we talk a little bit about the history of Captain N? Because we went over the story in the magazine that was kind of the original kernel of a thing, and it became this, which is very different.
Yeah, it started out as like a book in the Nintendo Power. I don't know if it's one for one.
It's a two-part story by this guy who's, let's call him an enthusiast writer. Like, it's very strange. And the original idea This is also covered online. You can read articles
about
this.
It's kind of reversed, actually, now that I think about it. It's about video game characters coming into real life and him having to, like, fight them.
Yeah.
And this show is about a kid going into a video game.
It's very different.
Yeah. It's reversed.
The original premise, I think the only thing that is the same is how they treat women. Both of them are very similar. But in the original, like, the guy works at Nintendo with other Nintendo employees, and there's an accident where he's filled with shrapnel in an explosion from a computer chip, and that gives him powers. And that's how you get Captain N, I believe.
In Captain N, if I may, he is a boy, I would say a good-looking teenage boy who has a dog.
I don't undersell it here.
Yeah, no, he's a hot teenage boy. And
he has a letter jacket, so he plays varsity something.
And his room is straight out of a 90s Sears catalog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he's playing Punch-Out when what should happen, but he goes into the TV, and so does his dog.
All I remember from the read through that article with the guy who originally created Captain N is how he was excited to have him be a gameplay counselor because kids idolize them, which that's true.
Yeah.
Remember that from the magazine. And then, the end version, once people who don't play video games got their hands on the property, is, I think, really interesting.
Yes. If you watch the show, it has very little, if anything, to do with the games.
Yeah. It even goes, we'll talk about it later, but like they even have like footage of the video game that they're like in that he's like playing, and it's not the fucking game.
I don't know why they just didn't get a video capture of the game.
They like have the rights to the characters, but they just couldn't actually put the gameplay in it. They had to like make up some like bad looking like fake video game of the video game.
They had the rights to the music because there's video game level music from Metroid and some other stuff in here that's recognizably like a adaptation of, I don't know, Norfair or something from Metroid. And then it's just very loose. It's very like cigar chomping guy in Burbank in 1987 is like, Metroid, what is this shit? And just starts fucking making stuff up based on what he knows about movies from the 1940s and 50s.
Or I just felt like he was like just chopping as much low hanging fruit as they could to that they thought kids would like.
Yeah. And we'll make Simon Belmont the princess. There's a princess of this place called Videoland, not to be confused with the Mushroom Kingdom. And she's a different princess than Zelda or Princess Peach.
See, none of them. Yeah.
She is somewhat different. A hot princess. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Her sworn protector is Simon Belmont of the Castlevania games. He's basically a rapist.
Yeah. No, you're pretty on track with this.
It's really fun to watch everyone's favorite video game heroes warped. I think the only one who comes out kind of sort of like he is in the video games is Kid Icarus.
Yeah, Kid Icarus kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, his Long Island accent is a little grating, but his actual character, he's actually voiced by the child who would go on to play Lieutenant Gata in Battlestar Galactica. And what is it?
Alessandro Giuliani.
Thank you. Yes. More or less. We should get into it because we're going to meet all these characters very soon.
Let's meet them.
Yeah.
Let's meet them. So let's jump into it. This is episode 101, Kevin in Videoland.
All right. Here we go.
And we are introduced to, we get what Videoland is, which has a bunch of video game worlds all centering around this thing called the Palace of Power. And we are told by a fancy narrator that there has been this video game war that's been happening for 7 years.
Ooh, all right.
And the forces of good are like the heroes from these various games. So Mount Icarus, where Kid Icarus lives. Megaland, which is where Mega Man is from. Castlevania, which is where Simon Belmont is from. That's the only one where it's the actual name of the place in the video game.
Yeah.
Metroid, where Mother Brain is from. And Congo Land.
These are like weird. The like main crew of it is Kid Icarus, the little weird flying angel boy.
He's like from Long Island or something.
Mega Man.
And everything Kid Icarus says is like has Icus dash ICUS at the end of it.
That's his thing.
That's cool, Icus. Wow, princess.
I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah, because that's I think that's Greek or something. I don't know.
I think you might not have noticed it because it's like the least insane thing that the characters do.
Yeah, it's like a B, like from this time, is this like a B team of video game characters, would you say? Is that a fair assessment on this crew?
So the heroes are Mega Man, who's got a little like Mega Man is like maybe a stereotype that you would not do today, I would argue.
A little person.
Mega high.
Oh, I didn't even know that like his voice was built into that.
Yeah, that was my read on him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for sure.
And we don't hear we don't hear these characters in the game so much. So, I mean, I guess it makes sense that he might say, "Hello, I am Mega Man."
if you're a cigar chomping guy in Burbank in the 80s and you have an opportunity to adapt these characters, he's like, "Look at this little guy. What does he sound like?" And he looks over at the Fantasy Island poster on his wall and he's like, "I know."
I just, in my head, I just didn't connect all those dots. And I was like, oh, these are just all weird, distorted versions of everyone.
I mean, I think that's what it is.
Like, I think my note was, it felt like every character was like, if they were like five generations of incest past their like main character. but on hindsight, I'm like, oh, this might actually just be like, maybe untasteful. I don't know.
That's boring. The kids will hate that. Yeah. What if we do something else?
We got to distort them.
So there's also Simon Belmont, who is wearing, he's like wearing like riding pants and boots. So he's kind of that, not really an Indiana Jones type, but in that world of like adventure, he's got goggles. He is not Simon Belmont. He's something else.
He's a coward. He is
self-absorbed.
He's constantly, and I guess in some ways he's sort of the princess of Video Land, whose name is Lana.
Yeah.
Princess Lana's, I guess, sort of her knight of the round table main protector, which seems like a mistake.
Yeah, because he's kind of just like a fucking creep.
He's a creep and he's constantly like, oh, I should comb my hair. Constantly looking himself in the mirror.
Like she should have protection against him.
The thing I picked up on Lana and him immediately is she is very used to his behavior because she manages him like a woman in the 80s might.
Yeah, she's not quite able or willing to get rid of him, which is what she should do.
Yeah.
Captain N, who we'll get to, shows up and does a better job within 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think she's pretty psyched. I don't know.
We also meet really quick. It's Donkey Kong, but he's not really connected to the war. He seems to be just kind of a free agent, let's say.
I honestly didn't fully connect even with this war. So this war is just like four people versus four people.
But right? we see
it's a war. It's probably like a battle.
I think we'll get into it more. My theory is that the war has gone very, very badly for the heroes. And there's a lot of bodies.
I think so. I also think that Mother Brain and her team, which consists of
Eggplant Wizard
from Kid Icarus.
Yeah.
Who kind of sounds like Droopy Doug.
Okay, that's pretty good.
And King Hippo. Like King Hippo from Punch Out, but this one is blue and has giant nipples.
Yeah, they probably turned him blue. So it was either the nipples go or his skin color becomes blue. So he's not human anymore.
Yeah.
Again, cigar chomping theory.
I gotta check these nipples out.
The thing that I do not remember from a kid nipples. Is there's literally an army laying siege to this castle. And this is not like a Super Mario Brothers story where this happened this afternoon. This is a 7 years long war of attrition between these two forces. And Mother Brain is about to close the book on the good guys. Like it's just like four or five of them in a castle and we don't see their armies. There are no armies.
There's not really armies. Yeah.
There's bad armies. We absolutely see monsters.
Oh, okay. So
we see monsters created by Dr. Wily, who is another, we don't meet him until episode two, but another sort of perhaps the mirror image of our heroes.
Dr. Wily, famously known for genetically engineering organic living monsters, will show up in the second episode.
A cursory glance at the Mega Man series shows that Dr. Wily makes robots.
Yeah.
Again, cigar chomping guy, don't care. So we meet Mother Brain with her henchmen, King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard. And Mother Brain is, my read was she's an homage to Audrey 2. Hey, it's Weston. I have to jump into the edit to reveal an important detail here that we totally missed when we were recording. And that is that Mother Brain is voiced by Levi Stubbs Jr., who's literally the voice of Audrey 2 in Little Shop of Horrors. These are his only two acting credits. And I think that's crazy. All right, let's get back to it.
I mean, it makes sense because she's stationary. She's in a tube. She can't move. So to a cigar chomping guy, it reads.
Yeah, she cackles a lot. She seems to have really stupid plans.
I'll get you my pretties. Ha 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 ha.
She laughs a lot.
She's having a great time.
I guess I didn't even fully connect what the plans were. It just seems like they're kind of just trying to kill people, right? It's just trying to kill the last four.
I mean, yeah, she basically sends what Hippo and Eggplant Wizard to go, like, she's like, we're about done with this war. Yeah, we're about to win.
It's the final four of the good people.
And the plan is to have King Hippo from Punch Out punch through the walls of the princess's castle.
Yeah, well,
to kidnap her.
It was really, honestly, I did genuinely like that. Like, again, I'm not sure if I'm like I'm so sick of reading the Nintendo Power magazine that my like expectations are so low on things, which it probably is that, but I really liked watching these because I think I might have just been happy I was not reading the Nintendo Power magazine. Yeah. But again, I thought it was really fun that King Hippo does not use doors. He just punches holes in walls. Like, they could be right next to a door. And to King Hippo, it's easier to just punch the whole wall down and walk around the door. King Hippo just go wherever, whatever destination King Hippo wants to go to, it's going to be a straight line and just holes through walls.
And Eggplant Wizard, when he gets like squished and stuff, vegetables pop out of him. I don't know.
Yeah, he can create vegetables out of thin air. And he's also he's grotesquely stupid. Perhaps as grotesquely stupid as the members of Princess Lana's court.
Yeah, so let's see what the heroes are up to in the palace mere moments for being captured and executed by the bad guys. So in this scene, Princess Lana is basically like, well, if we lost, thanks for fighting for me, guys.
Do you think every time Kevin leaves his like TV, he's a little more distorted and dumb?
That's interesting.
Yeah, right?
So she's like, she's wiping away tears from like Kid Icarus and stuff. And then the palace creates a portal or something. It's like, behold, the ultimate portal. We're going to use all of the palace's juice to grab a kid from Burbank.
Yeah.
Right.
And so there's incidentally, there's cigar chomping guys.
These are the portals that feel like slides that just kind of goes from one world to the next.
I think borrowing liberally from the Super Mario warp zone concept.
That feels.
Which, incidentally, I do think that there was, since there was a Mario cartoon at the time.
Yeah.
I think there was probably an edict, you can't use Mario or any of its characters.
Yeah.
But we're hearing Mario sound effects and there are warp zones. Anyway.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So Princess Lana is here and she's a new character. She is a woman added to a list of video game characters because there were no women in these games, like with Farrah in the Star Fox comic.
This princess, though, seems to she seems to be, I would say, among the more intelligent people in the game.
Hey, yeah.
She's in the cartoon.
She's definitely sexy and born yesterday. Like, if you know that trope.
What does that
That's
mean?
True.
Because she doesn't know how to dance. This is the, there's a video essay about it online. Who is the person who does those? I don't know. A high view count YouTube essayist.
Not to be confused with a low view count YouTube essay.
Yeah, that's my other kind. That's my other favorite kind of YouTube video. So, the Korra in Tron, a legacy, or any woman character who's like, I don't know how to be a normal person. If only a man would teach me. And the man main character is like, I got you.
Yeah.
This is what a kiss is. Here's how to hold hands.
Yeah.
Here's how to check your bank account. So yeah, she's very much that. And so the warp zone opens, Kevin comes through and they're all like, we're saved. Except that Kevin, of course, has never been in a video game before and doesn't know how to use his powers. He almost kills many of the characters with his gun. He has a zapper.
Yeah,
it's like that thing's a cannon.
He's got like a Nintendo zapper from the Nintendo.
Yeah, and he has a Nintendo controller around his waist, which is his, what do they call it? I forgot.
His power pad.
His power pad. Which is a controller. There's a part where he hits start to pause, except it's the select button for some reason. Again, cigar chomping dummy.
Nice catch.
So Yeah, he comes through the portal and clearly doesn't want to be here and wants to leave to go home. And it goes so poorly that after he takes off to do his own thing, Simon's like, "Don't worry, princess, I'll save Videoland." And she starts crying, which reminds me of there's a certain kind of person that I've crossed paths with where, like, if a dude is in a really bad way, they can just say something normal and it will cause people to burst into tears. And it just reminded me of that.
Yeah, he's been the sworn protector of the kingdom for I don't know how long, and you can just tell she doesn't believe him. I'll save you.
It's maybe my favorite moment in the entire episode.
Because, like, and they're also not going against the toughest thing. Like, the big bad is like a fucking eggplant who's throwing vegetables at people, and they're fucking getting...
Right, and a blue obese boxer controlled by a brain in a jar.
Again, dominated.
So Lana runs away crying, and she goes to her vanity to look at a picture of her dead dad, who I guess died during the 7 years-long video war. They allude to it later that Mother Brain captured him and killed him. So... Some dark underbelly stuff. This is like watching Frozen or something.
Yeah. Are we to infer that this stuff is happening concurrently with our real world? For instance, let's say we're playing video games. We're playing Kid Icarus. Not that we would ever do that, but...
Hey, come on. I like Kid Icarus.
It's cool, Icarus.
But are we controlling the fate of the people in this world we play video games?
Or is it like kind of a Wreck-It Ralph where that's like their day job?
And anyway, this is just kind of something for people to think about.
Yeah. No, this is-
Do you think Simon's like this and this is why Castlevania is so hard? Like, if he wasn't a dipshit, it would be an easier game because he would be easier to control.
Well, it seems like the Simon Belmont I know is brave. He's replenishes himself by eating chickens hidden in walls, and he's fighting
meat.
Dracula and a whole horror show of enemies.
Frankenstein's monster.
Medusa's.
Big bat.
This, I feel like the real Simon Belmont could take care of these enemies in 5 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe the cigar chomping guy was like, he's too confident. Make him dumber.
Well, it's like, oh, I know. We have a Zelda cartoon where Link is a womanizing bastard. Why don't we just do that? Because, you know, kids love that.
He's just having some fun. I didn't mean it.
To be honest, like, the lessons are, like, pretty fucking dark in this thing. Like, even, I this is jumping ahead and kind of spoiling, but even at the end, like, his mom from outside the TV is like, come on, Kevin.
Like nagging him.
Like, it's just like his mom's nagging, and then the video games are like, fuck your mom, man. Let's go hang out. And your kid's like, all right, I'm going to just like, fuck my mom. I should just play video games. It's like the ultimate lesson at the very end of this cartoon.
And that's why so many people, so many probably teenagers and children watching this turn to cigarettes.
All right.
I mean, so I feel like if I watched this episode as a kid, I would immediately be like, I'm allowed to say whatever I want to my mom, but there's no God. Like, I'm allowed to be mean.
This era, I mean, I was famously not allowed to watch the 90s Nickelodeon version of the Tomorrow People because the character Megabyte was rude to his dad. My parents were like that. And I own the DVD set now, and I watched it like 10 years ago or whatever when I got it. That kid's an asshole to his dad.
Yeah.
Like, he's 100% in the wrong.
Hmm. Well, I think what's important to notice here is that these four losers headed up by Princess Belmont, or the princess, and have to be saved by the chosen one.
They certainly aren't going to save themselves, as we'll see. All right. So opening the portal dimmed the power, and Mother Brain can just see what's going on with the heroes at all times.
Yeah.
And just is like, this is our chance, and sends... King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard in to bust into the palace now that their shield is weakened and get the princess. And so they're there in the palace and they see Simon and they're like, well, he's probably going to the princess because he, of course, goes after her when she's crying. So they throw him in a bag and drop him in a tube, bust into the princess's place and like roll her up in a rug like a bunch of gangsters. And then Kevin goes to knock on her door and they have one of them. Is it Hippo has to pretend to be the princess to trick him?
Yeah. She's like, hello,
I'm indecent right now. Please come back another time.
Yeah, and he doesn't buy it, and he blows the door open with a gun after she says she's changing.
Something's not right here, Duke.
Duke is his dog.
And Duke, you know, like hides his head in his paws or something. Anyways, so they get away with the princess, and all the remaining, the heroes are all pissed off and arguing over what they should do next.
Oh, can we go back first with Eggplant Wizard and the boy, Kevin, getting a little cowboy duel.
That's right. They have a showdown
and Eggplant Wizard has a banana as a gun, a very classic, and shoot the way the banana gun works is it shoots the banana and like the banana shoots out of the peel. And then the banana then forms into a new peel that absorbs Kevin into a gigantic banana. I thought that was pretty fun.
And thank God for Duke, who bites off the edge of the banana, freeing Kevin. And then
it's not the hardest. You just have to quickly unpeel him. But I thought that was maybe the silliest weapon I've ever seen ever.
I was very shocked because that scene of him and the banana trying to get out goes on for like 20 seconds. It's an unbroken shot of the banana wobbling and then Duke saves him. So they don't have to animate the King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard getting away with the princess.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it feels like the elevator ride at Evangelion. Like it's really long and honestly not bad.
Did we cover that King Hippo gets into the castle by punching holes in the wall?
I want you to keep saying it because I think it's really good too.
I mean, Mother Brain could have ordered King Hippo to do this at any time during their 7 years war.
Well, the shield was up the whole time.
Oh.
But here's what I want to know. During the 7 years of war, why did the palace pick now when it was under siege to use all its power to bring somebody in from a portal? Or is this how the other heroes got there? The Palace of Power was bringing, it's like, I don't know, what about the Castlevania guy? And he sucks. So it's like, what about Mega Man?
Or maybe there's some sort of intelligence, perhaps a god, we don't know, of this world, bringing a chosen one, a savior, if you will, in the form of Kevin, Captain N, the Game Master.
I would love to see this show's interpretation on God.
I choose to...
God.
I'm God, kid. Give me another cigar. I choose to believe that the god in this world does exist, but chooses not to interfere in the war.
Yes, but may sort of rearrange the chess pieces to be advantageous toward Princess Lana and her court.
Okay, let's see. So the heroes are all fighting, and Kevin makes a surprisingly wise analysis of what's going on, because he's like, it's no wonder the war has gone this badly. They're fighting each other.
Yeah, I mean, they actually are playing. They're like, these are a bunch of fucking dipshits. Like, yeah. That is, all the heroes are fucking dumb.
The working title was The Battle of the Retards.
Yeah, so Simon is like, I'm in charge now.
Welcome to Retard World.
He tries to take command, and he's like, Mega Man, shine my shoes. And Mega Man, like, turns his shoes red hot.
Because he's shining the shoes so quickly.
Yeah. So he gives him a little case of hot foot.
Burns the toes.
And then Kid Icarus looks like he's going to kill him with an arrow, but he just shoots a rain cloud over him.
Yeah.
They came up with those two beats, and then they went home at 11 a.m.
This is a great job, everybody. Take the rest of the week off.
What does this scene need? Well, what if he has shiny shoes?
Mega Man, Mega Man fights Dr. Wily and his robots. What if he was shining the shoe super fast and then Kid Icarus makes a rain cloud to cool off Simon Belmont? See,
yeah. Yes. Simon is a dipshit, but like Kid Icarus and Mega Man are really passive aggressive.
And it's not a great crew. I don't think they're the good guys.
The bad guys are the good guys?
No, it's a world full. It's a world like, full of like
gray. Game of Thrones shit.
Yeah, it very much is Game of Thrones. So he's got the like controller belt that like can do different like controller powers. Mm-hmm. And so I like that the first time he uses the controller was, hey, they're fighting. They just need to pause and just think for a bit. Mm-hmm.
And he pauses by pressing the select button.
Which is a great call out, Andy. I'm glad you noticed that. So he just pauses the action and everyone gets a time to chill out and cool down for a second. And then they're all relaxed. Mm,
that's nice.
Really quick, since we're talking about his power, his belt buckle, when I was little, never realized that there is a power meter on top of the controller that can run out, which is how he runs out of juice. So his like super jump stuff and his shooty gun both use the same power from that belt. And that's how they conveniently hand wave why he doesn't just go ham with his gun and kill everything.
If we like paid attention, we could like see it slowly tick down. Or do you think it's
consistent? There's probably a low view count YouTube essay on his power meter throughout the
I would invite you to check out my YouTube channel right now.
There's one for Star Trek Voyager where they go through it has a complement of photon torpedoes, and then we see them steadily use the.
Yeah, because the conceit, because you're just saying you haven't watched any Star Trek.
No, I have not.
Voyager is trapped far away, like from any help, in the Delta Quadrant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And and it's supposed to take them like 70 years to get back home. And they're a little ship. They only have like 40 photon torpedoes. But if you count how many torpedoes they shoot through the show, how many was it?
It's hundreds. But just so Brett can understand.
That's very funny.
When the Voyager gets thrown across the galaxy, it's a little bit like Kevin in his room in Burbank.
Ooh.
Playing Punch Out, getting drawn into the video game. Yeah. Do you understand?
I understand.
A portal.
All right, so Kevin gets everybody to go to Metroid Land to go get the princess back, which, again, it's not SR388, not the planet Metroid takes place in. It's
a zone called Metroid.
Planet Metroid.
Yeah.
Anyways, Simon tricks him by saying which way to go with a double-headed coin like Two-Face or somebody would have.
Yeah.
And then leads them in the wrong direction to Konga Land for no reason, where Donkey Kong is.
Simon's such a fucking idiot, man.
He might as well be an agent of Mother Brain.
Honestly, that would actually be cool.
I think that would explain a great many things.
Really, oh my God. Later in the season, they find out who he is, and it's just his head in the pike outside of the Palace of Power.
And Donkey. So
a message to any other would-be traitors.
Exactly. They go to Donkey Kong Land, and Donkey Kong is like brushing his teeth or something.
He's taking a bath. And he's got a little shower cap on.
Yeah, so they go
to Donkey Kong. They couldn't find what to do with Donkey Kong, so he's like King Kong sized. He's huge.
And he has a towel, a monogrammed DK towel over his wing wang.
Yeah. And Kid Icarus stops him by shooting coconuts out of a tree to bonk him on his dome. Which, again, he could have just shot his arrow like into Donkey Kong.
And Captain N could have just shot him in his fucking face.
there's a bunch of hijinks. And meanwhile, we go to Mother Brain gloating at the princess who she's captured and throws her into a cell with like a monster, an orange monster guy who I was like, is that Ridley? Because he doesn't look like him. And then this is the part where she alludes to the fact that they're not going to come save her because that's what happened to her father.
Right.
And that's how her father died.
That would be super fucked up if in the opening days of the war, you know, King Hippo killed King Videoland or whatever.
Like a wall. Punched him like a wall.
Punched through a wall and like punched him.
First wall, then him.
That's bleak. That's bleak. So they get out of Konga Land by going to a volcano where asteroids are shooting out of the volcano. And dude uses his pause power to hop on the asteroids.
Yeah, Captain N, for someone who just got here, he seems to know a lot about this world. For instance,
he plays video games.
Yeah, so he knows that in Donkey Kong, you jump into a volcano to get to Metroid Planet.
Yeah, after Donkey Kong takes his bath.
You remember from the game?
Yeah, the third level of Donkey Kong, he's in a bath at the top of the stage, and you go to the bottom of the stage, ignoring him completely.
You ask Kid Icarus to shoot the tree so that pineapples will fall on Donkey Kong.
Okay, so they use the asteroids to get to Metroid Land. Mother Brain throws them into the halls of Metroid. Yeah. Just Metroid levels.
Let's see how you do with the halls of Metroid.
And there's an honestly, you guys picked up on the songs, right?
Actually, Captain N does have a theme. I'm glad you mentioned this. To me, it sounded like a low-run version of Michael Jackson's Beat It.
I thought that was the second episode. Maybe it's the same song.
I think it's the same song.
They have one low-rent version of Beat It.
He realizes he can control time and vaporize anything he wants.
Yeah, so there's this... This is honestly pretty cool sequence where he's running around with the princess, hopping on platforms and just murking monsters.
Yeah, it's
using up all of his precious juice.
It kind
of
feels like you're like watching like a video game, I guess. The thing is, like,
you couldn't sound less interested.
This is a cartoon about video game land, and the best you can say is it sort of feels like a video game.
I loved it. I did think when people died, it was pretty kind of gruesome to me. Like the way they were like pixel, like they would like blow up. It like felt like guts.
Yeah, it's the same way people die in the Zelda cartoon. They turn into like little pixelated little stars and disappear. They
kind of de-res. Makes me think of Tron also. Very Tron-y.
I don't know. It felt kind of brutal. Like, I don't know. It just didn't necessarily. It kind of felt like for me like a middle ground between like a like very like a cyber like they zipped out of, they glitch out of existence and more like a person exploding. It felt like in between both of those.
I want to point out one thing that we skipped over, which is that they get to Metroid Land and none other than Simon Belmont is like, I know how to save the princess, and then dives into a hole, which is not in fact a warp zone to where the princess is.
I did skip over that because it's the second time in the episode he's confidently gone the wrong way. And that's just a thing he does multiple times in each episode. You are right. They get to back to Mother Brain, but Kevin's used up all the juice in his gun, but the rest of the team runs in alongside and they are united. It's a heroic moment. Simon is like, I'm going to use my whip, and just throws the whip at Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo, and he's like, the whip is alive, and the whip wraps them up, which makes no sense.
They do a lot of magical like whips with their minds of their own.
Yeah.
So Simon's whip does not have a soul in it. This is, again, not a thing from the video
exactly.
game. The vampire killer is imbued with magical properties to be good at killing monsters.
Yeah, if you know anything about the game, you have a tiny whip, and then a larger whip, and then a larger whip.
Yeah, he should have grabbed a little cross thing that made his whip into a chain whip.
Yeah.
Which would be harder to animate.
Or throwing little acid bottles.
The holy water.
Yeah.
So.
I think it's the closest we got with this. At least it's a whip.
So Mega Man like pulls a lever and it makes Mother Brain's tube spin around really fast. And Kevin very confidently says, we need to run because it's too dangerous to finish her off.
Right. Well, he's about to shoot Mother Brain, but he's out of power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he doesn't know that that would have been a mistake.
I don't know.
But he does know that.
That the switch that makes Mother Brain spin around really quickly, I guess, created an electrical disturbance that was unsafe for them.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he's referring to. They just had to cut the other. We don't have time to explain the electrical currents, kid. Cut the line. So they're back at the Palace of Power. And I guess the siege is still happening. The war is still happening outside. And they open the portal so Kevin can leave. And then, his mom is nagging him on the other side. And he's like, well, fuck this. I'm staying.
Yeah. And like, it's
why are you still playing that nonsense? Take out the trash.
Yeah.
Wow. Great. Great stuff.
And like, pretty much his crew is pretty much very much like, they're like, don't deal with that. You don't have to deal with that. Come hang out with us.
Maybe I'll stay.
Come stay with us forever. Stay young forever in our video game.
And I guess we're to imply something very important in the life of the series. Time doesn't somehow freeze in Kevin's real life.
Yeah, it's not a Chronicles of Narnia.
Or Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think he's been gone for, gosh, I don't know, hours, days, weeks?
This feels like an episode that takes place over like 5 or 6 hours, right?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
They were on those asteroids for a while.
And it was already nighttime. What is it? Was it 1 a.m. in his house? Anyway.
Yeah, so his mom's still awake. Chain smoking, almost certainly, in the living room.
Yeah, dad says, I'll take care of the bills, and then she starts crying.
God. And then the only Simon bit that I liked in the entire episode is Princess Lana gives Kevin a little smooch on his cheek, and Simon Belmont, it just cuts to Simon where he audibly gasps. He's just like, and that's the episode.
Captain N. The Game Master.
I found myself laughing anytime that Mega Man spoke or Kid Icarus spoke or King Hippo spoke or Mother Brain.
So you were laughing pretty consistently.
Yeah, you're.
It's very unlikely that these characters would exist.
I think
they're kooky for sure.
Do you think the Nintendo serial was more true to the IP that like to the original games than this was, because it feels like this is not reverent at all to the IP and is a big reason why Nintendo famously did not license anything for a long time.
I think so, because if you look at Mega Man, forget about the box art from the first two games.
Yeah, because that's not great to begin with.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you look at Mega Man from the game, he's blue, right? He's blue. They call him the Blue Bomber. In the cartoon, he's green.
He's like blue green. It's in between blue and green, right? No, you're right. I can't defend that. So something went very wrong. I didn't hate watching this, but I don't think it's good. And the other thing I'll say that probably complicated things here is, except for Kid Icarus, Mother Brain, Eggplant Wizard, and King Hippo, these are all third-party characters. So you're a company in Japan, and you finally get your tapes for the new show that they spent 2 years working on. You're like, finally, Simon Belmont's going to get adapted to the big screen, and it's this.
Right. Konami is here to stay. What is this?
Sir, Capcom, Konami, and who's the other?
Yeah, but it's like, would it be confused if he started, like, or she, like, watched this show, then played Castlevania? It's like, why is this person not a fucking dipshit who's, like, who's like creeping out girls? And
yeah, wouldn't he just spend most of his time combing his hair and running away from vampires?
Yeah, like, this isn't what I wanted to buy.
I feel like the good version of this is you have Simon Belmont as... like, you know, he's like a hardened, he's badass. Like, and he's like, I do what I want.
Yeah, like The Witcher or something.
Yeah, he's Geralt. Like, he doesn't fucking care. He doesn't want to play as the team. And like that, and kids would love him because he's such a capable badass, but he's done.
I work alone.
Was this show popular?
It's a great question. That's a
good question. I remember watching it, but that doesn't mean it's popular.
Did you like it?
I don't remember liking it as much. I'm sure I watched it because I was a dumb kid.
Yeah.
But my personal favorite was the Zelda cartoon, which had a much more menacing villain in the form of Ganon.
Yeah.
I remember liking this one more than the Zelda one, but I also didn't see the Zelda one very much.
Well, that's because it only aired on Fridays during the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. You get 4 episodes and then you get Zelda.
You get Zelda at the end as a treat for sticking with it.
The Super Mario Brothers Super Show is a whole other flavor of strange.
That thing, Captain Lou Albano, something special.
These are weird.
Alyssa Milano is here, ladies and gentlemen. Like, why is she
from
there?
Who's the Boss? Hey, Pizzano.
Swing your arms from side. So, did you guys like the episode? What was your take?
Again, I liked watching it. I don't think it was good, but I enjoyed watching it.
I think that's I stand by that. Also, I wanted to see Kevin, Captain N. That's what I call him. I wanted to see
that
Captain
sexy
N
teen boy
learn how to use his power pad.
Yeah, because we don't really know the rules of it. Yeah. He just knows intuitively how to do it.
He knows intuitively that if he touches the left or right controller button, he can dash out of the way quickly.
Yeah, and then the select button makes the world pause.
And I guess we see him learn how to use the zapper because it's a deadly, deadly gun.
Yeah.
If he gets injured in this world, is it like in Tron where he bleeds blood, where everybody else bleeds like pixels?
But maybe it's like in the Matrix when you're like getting beaten up and then you're in the chair. Yeah. And like spitting up blood.
Kevin's at home just on the floor next to his TV. Yeah.
And the mom is like still chain smoking and drinking, like, go to bed.
Yeah. I have a Kevin question for y'all. So he has a letter jacket, right? A varsity letter jacket, but he says he doesn't have his driver's license. So how old is he?
Well,
what did he get his letter jacket in?
Well, there's also how old is the live action actor who seems like he's 25? Yeah. But I think in the game, he must be like 15. If he hasn't gotten his driver's license.
I was going to say 16, but maybe just he didn't pass.
He has dreamy eyes. I can see why Princess Lana likes him more than Simon Belmont.
He and Princess Lana look like siblings, too. They have the same skin tone and the same hair color. What is his letter jacket in, though?
Because Prince is probably enthusiastic, like very slim pickings on romantic options if you're...
Because Kid Icarus is like her little son. Yeah. And I don't know what's going on with Mega Man.
it's kind of their fault because everyone presumably died in the video game wars.
Yeah.
Like all the, so it really is down to like Princess Lana's all that's left. So
it's really sad.
You got to go after her, I guess.
To answer your question, his letter jacket has an N on it. So maybe Nintendo, maybe his high school had a Nintendo
he
program.
He went to Nintendo High.
I wish I could have gotten to Nintendo High. Oh my God.
All right. You guys want to take a break?
Yeah.
Hey, you're listening to the Now You're Playing With Podcast, the podcast.
Are you ready?
This is the beer break brought to you by Howard and Nestor.
Hey, I'm Nestor. Glub up that beer, my friend.
Captain N is zapping your way.
I think that's my cue to kick it.
To defend Videoland from the forces of evil.
Captain N, weekdays at 3:30 on Fox.
I guess I'd live in.
You would skip school to do that?
No.
Why does she choose to wear like that outfit? Or did her dad pick it for her?
Her dad picked it for her before he was killed.
Yeah, that's probably why she wears it. It reminds her of her dad.
She reminds me of Kelly from, are we recording?
Yeah.
She reminds me of Kelly from Saved by the Bell. Brunette.
All right, let's get back to the guys.
I didn't time that well. She does very specific. When did Saved by the Bell start?
Did she have 89? Like, did she have like kind of like,
so it couldn't have been this.
Puffy hair, like the hair's kind of like a little wild, but.
Yeah, that's the style.
Yeah.
Yeah, hot.
Man, I got like, she really is checking off every box for me in terms of things, features I'm attracted to. Being a cartoon.
For one, she's a cartoon.
She lives inside the video game world.
She has a...
has to care about video games.
She has three dipshit protectors.
Right. She, if you're good men at video games, she likes you.
A child, a little robot man, and a doofus who are easy to run circles around and like impress her.
She has like a vegetable man who's trying to kill her constantly.
That's my favorite thing about her.
And an obese blue boxer with big nipples
who constantly will knock my walls down.
We're back from the break. Here's the thing that we did not establish earlier. That's a detail about Eggplant Wizard that I think is important. Eggplant Wizard is so in love with Mother Brain.
Oh, I didn't even.
He wants, he's like, whatever you want, Mother Brain. Like, he just really wants Mother Brain to step on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's very dumb. He has one eye. He sounds like Droopy Dog.
I'm your eggplant wizard. It doesn't work.
Eggplant.
I'm the eggplant wizard.
Brett.
He can't even do it.
I just fall asleep.
Do we think that this is this a concept that would work in today's video game world?
Ooh.
For instance, like if Sony were doing it and you could go into the PlayStation 5 world, would you have like Kratos?
So it'd just be like PlayStation All-Stars, but a cartoon.
Yeah. Kratos, Ratchet and Clank, Ratchet or Clank.
But not both. One of them.
Aloy.
Aloy's there and she's like Simon here where she's like a doofus who's self-absorbed.
And Joel.
Just Joel.
Last of Us.
As a sexist piece of shit.
What's Joel like? But how do they get the characters wrong? Like, how do you get Kratos wrong for like a cartoon like this? You're the cigar-jomping executive now.
Okay, I want to make Kratos the cell because he's kind of a big guy like Simon Belmont, like a tall drink of water. He could be the self-absorbed one who's like, hey, you want me to take care of this for you?
Hey. Sounds like Chris Evans, like Lucas Lee and Scott Pilgrim.
He has like a kid like in the new God of War, but he's just trying to like avoid custody bills.
Yeah, the kid's like, I want to help. I have a bow and arrow. And he's like, shut up, kid. You stay in the castle.
You're not my son.
He also came to the Palace of Power through a portal and also has somebody waiting for him on the other side that needs him to do chores and he won't leave.
And I feel like the villains could be like an obscure just kill zone guy. Like a kill zone warrior.
The Hellghast.
I will destroy Aloy's castle.
So we need some third party stuff in here. So like what third party villain, like the villain from Death Stranding?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Solid Snake could be, or Big Boss could be one of the bad guys.
He shows up. He's got a big chin. He's like, I got to teach you everything there is to know about living in the forest.
What are other PlayStation games?
I think we did them all.
All right, we're here at the
Gravity Rush girl.
Yes, she flails, and then
Erica.
Is that her name?
Well, Erica is from a game called Erica, where it's like an interactive movie or something. So I haven't played it.
Aloy and the self-insert character get in a fight over the princess.
I want Master Chief to be a dipshit.
Oh, but that would be Microsoft universe.
There's so many of them coming from everywhere.
There's not a lot of Microsoft games. So I think Master Chief in like an airplane for Microsoft Flight Simulation.
Yeah, what would it... I guess anything from Activision, Blizzard.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess they own everything now.
Sylvanas Windrunner. All right, we're here at Captain in the Game Master, season one, episode two. How's Bayou?
Do you think this is better than the Sonic cartoon? Like, there's a bunch of Sonic cartoons. I wonder which is better, Sonic cartoons or Nintendo cartoons.
Great question. I wouldn't watch the Sonic cartoons because I was a Nintendo kid.
Ooh.
That's not being faithful. Mario would know. Zelda would know.
Yeah, Mario, Zelda.
Link would know.
Mother Brain especially.
Kevin.
Who would appear in the anti-drug, like the DARE video with all of the IP characters from, so it's like Michelangelo from the Ninja Turtles and Bugs Bunny tries to stop you from smoking weed?
I mean, probably all of the characters from Captain N, because it would be like, they're all like the after people of after you do drugs.
Mega, don't turn out like me.
And especially the eggplant lizard who's like
I shouldn't have tried weed.
I distinctly remember like in anti-smoking, there was like, it would be a photo of like a healthy kid next to a photo of like a kid who's like wrinkly and doesn't have money and is like broke. And they'd be like, this is the after effect. So I think just a photo of normal Mega Man.
This kid will never make it on Wall Street.
Then the photo of this Mega Man is like the before and after would work.
Yeah. Kevin, presumably the only drug he takes is
ketamine.
Because it starts with K, Special K, they call him on the playground, Kevin. But I don't think he does drugs, maybe except for playing Nintendo.
I mean, I think he's
Nintendo's a drug.
Yeah, he's clearly escaping into a world. Like he's this. I think this is an analogy for a drug. Not actually, but I think what he's doing is harmful.
It is addictive.
I think what's going to happen is Bugs Bunny and Michelangelo from the Ninja Turtles and one of the Care Bears and some of the Gummy Bears are going to come to Kevin to try to get him to stop hanging out in Video Land.
Yeah, they're like, hey, don't you know there's after school programs where you can play basketball? And he's like, no way. I like to fight a brain in a jar and fuck this princess every day.
There's a lady in here.
Okay, so we start off on Mother Brain watching new footage from the live action stuff of Kevin playing Punch Out with his NES Advantage or whatever the joystick is called. And I point that out because this is like not the footage from the opening credits. This is like another shot of this actual real life actor set.
Yeah. A different take from the same setup.
Yeah. So she's like studying him to be like, I have to learn about the Captain in. And then finds out that he's afraid of the adventures of Bayou Billy because it's hard. And she's like, well, I know what I have to do. She's got to ship him off to the Bayou Billy swamps and then I'll be able to kill him. Finally.
Yeah. Which, I mean, to be honest, I thought this was actually kind of like it worked. I actually thought that like kind of premise was like, oh,
like it's a good plan.
Yeah. I thought this was like kind of actually like an okay idea. Well, it's like he's bad at one video game. Let's put him in that video game world.
And apparently we didn't know this from the first episode, but there's a completely new part of Video Land, which is Bayou Land, right?
Yeah. It's not in the initial.
Yeah.
I suspect this is going to happen more in the series.
Maybe they should have flashed that map right away. Cause,
the map pulls out and there's five other lands. Clue land. I didn't have that one teed up. That just came out.
Super Mario land.
It's good. It's good eggnog, guys. All right. Meanwhile, on Metroid, which again, like, Metroid is the name of the creature, not the place.
Yeah. Could the people at Nintendo have given them like a packet? Even the instruction manual or the back of the box where it's like, watch as Samus Aran travels to planet SR388. Or no, Zeebs. Zeebs.
Zeebas. Wait, which one is SR388 and which one is Zeebas?
I think SR388 is Metroid 2.
Okay.
Return of Samus.
Zeebas is the one from one.
I feel like we're a step Metroid away from being like, it's called like Nerdville. Nerdland.
This is what the cigar guy did. He's like, what are you guys talking? We're calling it Metroid. That's the planet they're from. So
he's like, I was in World War II. You guys shut the fuck up.
Raise your hand if you flew a bomber in WW2. So there's also footage in here of fake Bayou Billy. I don't know what version you guys saw, but I saw like it wasn't footage from the video game. It was animated footage meant to look pixelated like an NES game.
It was like they had never seen a Nintendo game. Yeah. We were talking about this before, Brett. It looked like an Atari game of some sort. Yeah. Decidedly not a Nintendo game.
It looked more like Pitfall than Bayou Billy.
Yeah, well, it's funny, yeah, because like now they animated it and it looks worse. It looks like a piece of shit game.
Why not just take the NES has a composite video out.
Yeah.
You could record that onto a tape recorder.
Kids would probably like that more.
I know.
Be like, that's footage of a real video game.
It shocked me.
So Dr. Wily shows up and he's like, I've got a robot cat that's going to help this plan happen. It's going to help Kevin get to Bayou Land or whatever, the world of Bayou Billy.
This is actually great because Dr. Wily's making a robot.
That's true. That's what he does.
Not biological creatures like episode one.
No, that's in this episode.
Oh, sorry.
No, sure.
Later in this episode, he's going to stop becoming Dr. Wily.
Oh, he makes like a robot cat.
Yeah, so he has a robot cat here, which is on brand for the character. He's made a robot. He's Dr. Wily, and he's made a robot. Keep that in mind.
This would be, the robot cat would be in a Mega Man level called Animal Man.
Animal
Cat Man.
Cat Lover Man.
Meanwhile, in the Palace of Power, Kevin is trying to get Lana to dance.
Yeah, they're in the middle of dancing. He's like, hey, try this.
And she's like, this is fun. And then he's like, wow, you should come back to my world so I can show you off to my friends.
But not before he moonwalks using his power.
He does waste his valuable limited juice to moonwalk.
There's a very, the montage is very like long and silly. And like, it's just like them dancing, but it just went a little weirdly long.
But look at how far these two have come since episode one.
They're dancing together.
They're playing music and just dancing together.
Kevin's objectifying Princess Lana really upset me here because he's not like, come back to my world. I want you to see what you think, or we'll go to the mall. It'll be super fun. It's I want my friends to see me with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they'll think I'm cool.
I will say I do agree, but I think that Kevin has a good heart. Ultimately, he does the right thing.
He's like, he's only like 15 or 16 or something. Like he's got a lot to learn.
Yeah.
So the robot cat...
He's beautiful.
His beauty shocked me.
You guys bringing that up a lot. All right. Robot cat shows up. Duke the dog, who has the intelligence and personality of a human, chases... Yeah, he's like shaking his head disapprovingly to things humans have said. He chases the cat through a portal to Bayou Land. And Kevin's like, oh, fuck. Because he's bad at Bayou Land. And then, but he follows anyways. And then Mother Brain's like, Eggplant was a king, but go after him. that's what she sounds like.
There was a silly animation thing that happened. The characters were like, you talked about earlier about how like there's bad animation in this.
Mm-hmm.
The characters were like walking and it kind of seemed like they were like skating. Like it was like there was like a walk animation. Then it felt like it was like on a track.
Yeah. You were saying something about there's an unfinished episode of this that's out.
I might've watched the unfinished one. Cause like they walked, but they weren't like walking in a way that made sense. They walked and they were just like on a track going in one line, which was.
That sounds like temp animation. Yeah.
Which was pretty funny. Honestly, bad animation walking is very funny to me. So I liked it. I thought it was a joke.
Well, they had big deadlines.
Oh.
Yeah. My understanding, the anecdote that I've heard is that this episode specifically aired with a bunch of unfinished.
Yeah. They spent all that time animating Bayou Billy.
That dance sequence was, they slaved over it. The cigar guy wouldn't let them stop doing, always had notes.
They spent an entire year working on that dance sequence.
Apparently. Yeah, right. There's footage they showed at a birthday party for the cigar guy that they can't show to anybody. All right. So this, I'm calling them the squad. So it's the other hero characters are like, something is up, and they go to Bayou Land. Also, we get some footage of Duke the dog getting hunted by swamp monsters. And it's not cool for Duke. Kevin looks for Duke for approximately 30 minutes and then gives up and is attacked by a living tree, which I'm pretty sure is not something in Bayou Billy. Andy, you said you've played this.
Yeah, my neighbor Jason had this game. It was mostly about beating up punks. It's like Double Dragon, but in the Louisiana swamp.
Yeah, and it's got like side-scrolling beat-em-up levels, zapper levels, and driving levels.
Yep.
But there's like... Yep. Controller, you put your like gun zapper episode like levels.
I think so.
Yeah, there's like shooting gallery levels where you're just going through and guys are popping out.
What happens if you don't have the gun? Are you just you lose the game?
You have to control the reticle with a controller, I think, and it's very bad.
Huh.
Yeah, but this is when people could get behind like Confederate heroes. I don't know that he's Confederate, but
we'll find out when we meet him. Kevin gets quicksanded into an underground cave with an alligator in it. Happily, Bayou Billy saves him. That's exactly the note I typed. And Bayou Billy has a great chin. That's all I want to say.
I mean, now that you mentioned it, I fucking love Bayou Billy.
He was great.
He's fantastic. Honestly, he's better than his video game.
Yeah. He should. I don't know why he's not part of the squad. He would be great. He's very capable. He has a pet alligator.
Nobody even brings it up.
And he teaches Kevin all the ways of the Bayou Land, like how to cook and how to track, how to hunt.
They have like that little montage. And one thing they do is when learning the ropes, he just knocks on a tree and then a monkey hands him a life pack from the tree hole.
How would you know to do that if someone didn't show you?
As a rich ecosystem in the bayou. Also, the beat it instrumental track is back.
Yeah. They
as Kevin gets good.
It's a weird pick for the second video game. The first video game world they go in is pretty fucking boring. It's just a swamp.
Yeah, it's like last time we went to Donkey Kong Land, which is fully made up, and Metroid, which is basically Metroid.
I feel like they have just like, because Donkey Kong Land was like in a bathtub and like was still kind of, I feel like they just have one one like background.
Like a forest.
Yeah, they have a forest background. It's like
it's a forest redress.
And when Simon Belmont and the princess arrive, Simon Belmont's like, oh, I don't want you to, he doesn't talk like that. I don't want you to get your sweet little feet on in the muck here. Step on this carpet. And then she does, but then walks immediately off. And then he walks on it and then falls in a swamp and quicksand.
Yeah.
I think they don't know what to do with Simon, but we'll get to that later because Simon has two things. He's self-absorbed and he's pursuing Princess Lana.
Do you think in the writer's room, they're like, guys, we got a problem. We got some real dipshit characters. We cooked up.
What have we done?
Yeah, I'm just realizing now we got to stick with these guys.
That writer's room had to have been four people, one of which was pro, like Simon's is self-absorbed doofus. And one of which is Simon is, super into Princess Lana creepily.
Yeah. And there's a lot of coke and they're like, we did it. Oh, the greatest characters of any TV series.
I'm taking the rest of the week off.
Eat your heart out, MASH.
Yeah. They wake up hungover. They didn't even animate it properly. Yeah. Fuck.
This is also the part where we go back to Mother Brain, who's had Dr. Wily genetically engineer a living biological creature to kill Captain N.
Yeah. Remember that from the Mega Man games?
Yeah, it's always like half robots, half organic creatures, right?
Yeah,
that's like how I remember
wood,
it.
Okay, woodman, robotic owls, robotic tree, robotic, I don't know. What else is in woodman? You get it.
Yeah, everything is robotic.
Living spider with four faces.
Giant dog that shoots arcs of fireballs at you out of its mouth.
What would the four faces, like, do they argue about stuff? How do they agree? I think there should be a four-faced spider in a Mega Man game. It could be a robot. I know the organic thing is nonsense.
Maybe they get into that in the Battle Network series.
Simon and the princess also during that scene, Simon's like, I found the dog and climbs a tree and it's actually a mountain lion.
Yeah, they make a big point that dogs don't climb trees at some point.
Which is true.
Yeah, that's more of a cat
thing.
Yeah, and Simon doesn't know the difference between dogs and cats.
Yeah, I think this is about when I started getting bored.
Oh, is this... at some point around here, Simon says that he will deliver the boy to Mother Brain.
We go back to...
Everyone says, Simon, dogs don't climb on trees. And he goes, they don't?
Which you repeating that is funnier than it was in the show.
Well, I mean, think about it. He spends all his time hunting down ghosts and ghoulies.
That's a much funnier thing to give the character. He's like, I don't fucking know. I hang out in castles.
I hang out in castles fighting horrible monsters.
Yeah, I guess to him, a dog's a fantasy creature.
Yeah,
right?
He wouldn't know.
His perspective.
Yeah, like some kind of zombie, fucked up zombie thing that, for all we know, climbs trees. We don't know.
Most of the dogs I know are skeletons. Like, how would he...
Honestly, maybe the reason why he's a dipshit is there's so much whiplash from all this, like...
All the whipping.
But he's not owning it. He's too proud to own it. He should just be like, look, I'm way out of my depth. I gotta be honest. Like,
look, I'm from 1850, okay? I'm pretty dumb compared to you guys, just scientifically speaking, but also I spent all of my time in castles whipping candles.
Do you think there's a steam train from here to where the dog is?
No, you fucking idiot.
All right, Eggplant and King Hippo have some comic hijinks. Eggplant Wizard is very abusive to King Hippo. Yeah. He turns him into a motorboat. He rides him.
Yeah.
Underwater. Like, his head is above water, but he's riding King Hippo on his shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah. The two of them are not generally nice to each other.
But the heroes aren't either. It's a pretty cruel world across the board. Because the heroes then use alligators as speedboats.
That's right.
And Captain actually says, alligators, jet skis. So I guess they're jet skis. It says alligator jet skis. What a concept.
Yeah, because
do you agree?
He captures
what a concept.
It is a good idea. He captures the alligator with like a rope, like and then uses his power pad to speed it up, and there's a big chase, which I believe is accurate to the Bayou Billy video game. Cause there's like a hoverboat chase or whatever, right? I don't think you ride an alligator, although you should.
Yeah.
They do try to kill Kevin here. Like, they almost run him down in the water. They almost murder him. They almost get him next time. And then the Wily monster's there. And this creature that Dr. Wily has made, which is completely made up and not from a video game, screams Kevin's... He doesn't scream Kevin's name. He screams Captain In, right? There's like a high-pitched voice. It's really disturbing.
Yeah, it's a disturbing creature. It's like a weird goblin dog or something.
I think they're pulling from Dark Souls, right?
Yeah, it's a very Souls-like creature. It's definitely from Bloodborne.
And then, before that too, we missed. I think Simon had his spotlight moment where he's kissing his own feet and he's talking about how much he loves his feet. You remember
that? Yeah. This is 100% where I was like, what is his deal? Is he after the? And he kind of remembers that he's after the princess and like.
Oh yeah, she goes, can't you think of anything else but yourself? Oh, yes, thank you. I should be thinking about you.
That's pretty much it.
But he fights... How do they kill the Dark Souls monster?
Bayou Billy pops out and kills him, right?
Oh, yeah. They really should put Bayou Billy on the team. He's, like, pretty cool.
Okay, so among the oversights they make in this episode, one is like, how is the monster dangerous? Because like Kevin can't shoot him because his gun is waterlogged or whatever.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it have been scarier if he shot the monster and it didn't work? Because he ultimately beats... All right, I'll get to the plot stuff. But like, yeah, so a bunch of stuff happens. Simon offers to betray Kevin to Mother Brain. That's one thing that happens here.
Which is very Game of Thrones.
Yeah. And Mother Brain doesn't acknowledge it. Much like they don't acknowledge that Billy would be a great team member. She's just like, that's crazy. We're about to eat them.
Wait, Simon does it or Billy?
Simon is like, I would totally hand Kevin over to Mother Brain if I could get out of here.
Evil. And we're supposed to root for this guy?
I mean, honestly, if whatever side he's on, he's producing a net negative. So I feel like if he switched to the bad team, it would be a favor.
God, what if he was a double agent? What if he was like...
I mean, why not just have fucking Dracula?
Hey, it's me, your friend Dracula.
I'll save you, princess.
Oh my God. Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo grab the princess and Simon, and the monster is going to eat them. And the monster is actually pretty freaky. Like, it's a freaky looking monster.
Yeah.
To the show's credit. And then Kevin saves them, and then he fucks up, and then Billy saves Kevin. And Kevin uses his swamp skills that he learned from Billy to get to some kind of star that's in, that kills everything on screen in Bayou Billy. Yeah. And uses said star to just fucking obliterate everything, including the monster.
Yeah. So I guess like any living creature in this radius is fucking dead.
Yeah. Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo fucking see that and they're like, we got to get out of here. Like they are terrified.
Yeah.
Even though the star chases them through the portal to Mother Brain's room and they all get killed.
Are they dead now? Or they, is there, because I also thought they died in the first episode. Like, do they respond? Is this like an internal war because people respond when they die? Is that?
Well, I think that's more of the Zelda cartoon. You kill the bad guys and they turn into smoke and then they reappear in,
oh, really?
In Ganon's giant glass vase. But they didn't, to answer, no, nobody died at the end of the first episode. They were about to kill Mother Brain, but then they left because of the electrical.
But this episode, disturbance. Eggplant Man and the hippo do die.
And Mother Brain. They all get derezzed. They do the pixel thing. And Mother Brain says, I tried to write this down, and I tried to find captions that made sense. I listened to it like 5 or 6 times because it's an incoherent delivery by Mother Brain's voice actor. She says, when I re-degenerize, I'm going to de-degeneralize you two.
Wow. Hmm. That was a everyone go home at lunchtime situation line.
You know what happened was the voice actor is like, what the fuck is this? And this was the best take.
Yeah, it's probably somebody who's like on Broadway or something like this. They're like,
I'm
okay,
classically trained. Apparently they do. Mother Brain and King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard can degenerize whatever the fuck that means.
So what's the point of all, like, can, how do they defeat them? Is this are they doomed?
We gotta
watch the rest of the show.
You have to before they degeneralize.
Yeah, so she threatens to permanently delete them or something. Yeah, I don't know. There's no stakes, I guess. None of it matters. Although I guess the good guys can permanently die because there's only 4 of them left.
Maybe this is a really interesting depiction of the medieval Catholic notions of purgatory.
Mm.
It's like the hit show Lost, where they are trapped in an island, the Palace of Power.
Yeah.
Brett, you've seen this recently. Is that true?
Yeah. It's pretty much the same show.
I thought so.
Is Mother Brain controlling the island?
I have to move the island.
The smoke monster is Mother Brain, is the big twist.
The smoke clears. We see a familiar face in a jar.
So there's...
I found you, my pretty.
I made your plane crash.
I made you... So they're at a swamp dinner with Bayou Billy, and the alligator is like, has its arm around Simon. Like, yeah, it's cuddling him.
It's great because like, and the alligator is not like a animal that's like,
it's his pet.
It's not like a animal human hybrid. It's like very much just an alligator.
Yeah. Like it's like drawn like an alligator looks.
Yeah. And
this is Billy's pet, by the way. We didn't establish this. He shows up earlier and they're buds. Like he likes Captain Inn.
Yeah, and the alligator has a family of little baby alligators that live in a tree.
Yeah, which we learn about because Duke runs away again into the alligator's nest, and the baby alligators traumatize Duke. Duke's gonna need to go to therapy.
Duke is the best character in this show.
Duke, you think so?
Duke's reliable. Yeah.
Is this one of your notes?
I wrote like a whole like page. Duke is the best dog ever.
He's up for anything. I mean, sure, he's a little bit of a scaredy cat, but he's good in a pinch.
He knows his owner is an idiot sometimes. He'll like hide his head in his paws and shake his head like, mm-mm.
Yeah, the Duke should be leading the team. I'm going to play
really
the alligator sound effect that they play when the alligator roars.
Uh-oh. Let's hear it. I don't think that's Frank Welker.
Which sounds suspiciously like Donkey Kong from the first episode. They're like, we could just use the same sound.
Hey, you still got that Beat It instrumental track? Let's use that too.
So that's episode 2 of Captain N the Game Master. How's it by you?
Captain N the Game Master.
Yeah. Which is a play on words. By you, Billy. Think about it.
It doesn't work if your pronunciation is bio.
Bio.
How's bio?
And if you're from Texas, if you're from Texas or Louisiana like us, you say bio.
Wait, which one are we supposed to be saying? I thought it was bio.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Call in to our toll-free number and tell us how to say if you're from Louisiana. Yeah.
Leave us a voicemail. Leave us a voicemail, pretty.
Yeah, it's a lovable group of heroes here.
Really? That's your takeaway?
I'm glad we did 2 back-to-back because the second one seems to have sucked the life out of us. Although that might be the bourbon. Hey, do you guys like this episode?
Yeah.
Brett, what about you?
Yeah, I did.
Should we rate these episodes like you guys would rate the like Howard and Nestor?
Oh, like a top 2 list?
Oh, I hadn't even considered.
Like 0 to 10?
0 to 10. Okay. Yeah, that sounds kind of fun. Should
Okay, I'll start. I think the first one is like a 2 or a 3. Yeah. The characters are really stupid, and it doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's a slap in the face to every video game it adapts.
Bunch of dumb shits.
Yeah.
But it is very unlikely scenarios playing out. And that's,
you love unlikely scenarios.
Like
this would never happen.
None of this would ever happen in real life.
This is unreal.
Yeah. And that's worth something.
Yeah. What about the second episode?
I liked it more. I like Bayou Billy to me makes it like a 4. This is like a 4 or 5.
Man, we should it is fun to give like low ratings, but that is kind of how I feel. At least what if we ever like watched the movie we didn't fucking hate? How about that? Right?
You think we should watch something good talk about it?
Yeah. Okay,
you want to ruin this thing?
I'm going to give episode 1 of 5.
All right.
Right? That's fair. I kind of liked Video Game World. It's a bunch of dipshits, but like I like the sound effects.
They were going to lose the war.
They have good video game sounds and stuff. It's kind of fun. I like that Captain Hippo breaks walls down.
How does he gain entry to the palace? Oh, he punches through the walls.
He's got one thing.
And then how do you get the princess? Oh, roll her up in a carpet.
he was an enforcer in like New Jersey, right? Like that's his thing.
Yeah.
Hey, and cement bricks at the bottom of the Atlantic.
He didn't throw a fight he was supposed to, and to escape his fate, he escaped into a TV screen and now he's here.
I like cyber worlds. I like getting sucked into TVs. I think that's fun.
Would you like that in your actual life?
Yeah. So I could escape the boredom and terror of the
your parents nagging you.
My nagging mom telling me to take out the trash all the time.
But what if, let's
which
say,
which would take like 30 seconds.
It's really.
What if this happened on a weeknight and you have to go to work the next day and then you stay there for like a week? And
work
then
at age 15 or 16?
No. Like you're how old you are right now?
And I got stuck in.
And like you're not right now?
You didn't. You don't send like a out of office email. Just nothing.
I would be pretty preoccupied by work. I'd be like, Simon, I don't have time for this. I got emails.
You know she's not indie.
Yeah.
Just drop it. You're such a fucking loser.
Yeah, I would just be like, fuck, I'm really behind in work.
You're like ruining the good name of men everywhere by behaving the way you are.
Yeah.
And you, what are you, some kind of like little robot or something?
What the fuck are you?
Why is your voice so fucked up? And you're just like a little boy who flies around? Or
flies around, has like a big head. What are you, some princess I love? Doesn't know how to dance?
Oh, by the way, there's a work Christmas party coming up. Princess Lana, do you want to, can I show you to my coworkers?
I would really love for you to be there next to me looking pretty.
I'd like you to be kind of my prize.
All right, party's over. Get the fuck out of here.
I got to get to work.
Hey, this was fun. You need to go back to Video Land.
And you get a notification on your phone. Please help us. The war is almost over. And you're like, do not disturb.
God damn it. I got to update my LinkedIn.
Yeah, I just, what would Simon text like? I feel like he'd just like send...
Hey, asshole, I'm banging your bitch.
He only uses voice memo.
You see that play button, you're like, I don't know. I don't want to do this. I'm going to give, okay. I do like Billy more than any character in the first one, but there's points where I don't trust him.
Did I rate the second episode?
Did you? Oh, please go ahead.
You said 5 for the first one.
First one's 5. Second one's 4.
Oh, you didn't like it as much.
I liked the first one more. I think it was fun establishing the world. Hmm. I was like, oh, it's like video games, so they're all fucking dipshits.
Yeah, it has really good world building, and everything is thought out very carefully.
I mean, it's
really respectful to the source material, clearly made by people who care a lot about. No,
I agree with you. It's a slap in the face to the game developers.
It's so disrespectful that between this and the Super Mario Brothers movie, it's not surprising at all that basically video game adaptation stopped for decades. All right, here, really quick, my rating. I'm going to give the first one, I'll give it a 4. And the second one, I'll give a 5 because Billy's chin. Mm-hmm. Billy's chin gets a point. I will say, when they get to the TV movie that's about the 7-year video wars, that's going to be a 10 out of 10 for me.
There's a movie?
Yeah, it's coming. This is for sure happening.
Is it a movie? Okay.
The 2-hour Captain N event. Thursday at NBC.
I can't get this blood off my hands.
I will destroy Video Land.
Yeah, I'm going.
I ripped him in half.
I think I got it. I think that's okay. You have to let your lips go in between your teeth. We did it.
The last 4 episodes are over an hour long on this playlist.
That can't be right.
Yeah, there's an hour 45, hour 24, hour 24, 2 hours and 29 seconds.
I lost it. All right. I'm going to cut so much of that out. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I think they just started making movies.
This can't be true.
Yeah, the incredible final battle takes place on the planet Metroid.
I can't. I need Kid Icarus to talk about like choosing to vent the ship and killing like 73 people. Otherwise,
if we vent Icarus, the main engine, Icarus, it could cause an explosion, Icarus.
And I told that son of a bitch.
Hey, you guys don't know that I've given the shield frequencies to Mother Brain.
Any final thoughts from this incredible experiment, gentlemen?
I wish that our society wasn't so cynical that we couldn't do this today.
Wasn't so cynical.
Yeah. I wish our society was
more cynical.
Less cynical. So that we could do this again with today's game characters.
De-cynicalize. I'd like to
degeneralize.
De-cynicalize.
De-degeneralize.
I wish society was de-cynicalized.
But everyone, every kid is on social media fucking making fun of things. And I think we should do it with honestly, the Sony universe.
I think these 4 hero characters are very much like our newest generation of kids.
Oh, like dumb?
Bunch of fucking dipshits.
That's the spirit. Now we know you're getting older. Andy, thanks for joining us. Where can people find you?
Thanks for having me. You can find me in the video game verse.
You're welcome.
Instagram.
In Andyland.
Andy not to be Petruzzo. Confused with Candyland. Goodbye.
Wow, that was rough.
That was so fun.
Can I go on a date with you? Yes.
I'm sorry, you're just like a little freak, little boy. I'm sorry.
I would rather talk to the racist.
You can't give me a ticket, I'm moving my car now!